Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his.
Chris, wake up!
He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. Take me to the king, and I will explain the meaning of his dream.
Can you tell me my dream and what it means?
Your Majesty, not even the smartest person in all the world can do what you are demanding. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And while you were sleeping, he showed you what will happen in the future. Your Majesty, what you saw standing in front of you was a huge and terrifying statue. This image, huge and dazzling, towered before you, fearful to behold. Its head was made of gold. Its chest and arms were silver. And from its waist down to its knees, it was bronze. From there to its ankles, it was iron. And its feet were a mixture of iron and clay. As you watched, a stone was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. The stone struck the feet, completely shattering the iron and clay, and swept away like chaff before the wind until no trace remained. But the stone became a tremendous mountain that covered the entire earth.
Was that really the dream?
How would I know?
And the meaning of the dream? Why does it fill me with dread?
Because you, O King of Kings, you are that head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom, and then a third, and then a fourth, as strong as iron. During the time of those kings, the God who rules from heaven will set up an eternal kingdom that will never fall.
He's told Nebuchadnezzar that his kingdom will fall.
Now I know that your God is above all other gods and kings, because he gave you the power to explain this mystery. I will make you chief of all my wise men and governor of the province of Babylon.
The work will be better done, my king, if these good men govern beside me.
It will be as you wish.
I've always enjoyed watching Superbook as a child, and I love how the Bible, it's brought to life for children today through the video series. Now, Daniel is a popular figure among children's Bible stories, and we can get so caught up in the courage he had and the amazing things that he did. We can, in a sense, focus on what we see on the outside and miss what's really happening beneath the surface of his life. I'm not sure, but most likely you've seen images of the Empire State Building. And perhaps you have even stood on the observation decks of this tall skyscraper in New York City. It is easy to be mesmerized by the height and the beauty of what was once the tallest building in the world. Now, to focus on just the part of the building that extends into the sky, it would be a disservice of what is really happening beneath the surface of the ground. You see, because the island of Manhattan is made up of very hard bedrock. In fact, builders used foundation anchors called piles to carry the extreme weight of the Empire State Building. These piles, they're made of concrete or steel columns that are hammered into the ground until they penetrate solid rock. The Empire State Building is anchored into the ground with 55-foot deep columns. That's the equivalent of a 5-story building dug into the bedrock of Manhattan. It's insane. In order for a tall building to extend into the skyline of New York City, there must be solid anchors to hold it into place. The same is true in our lives. Now, today, as we look at the passage in Daniel chapter 2, we see that Daniel was firmly anchored in God's wisdom, in God's strength, in God's kingdom. So first, let's look that Daniel was anchored in God's wisdom, not in the wisdom of man. King Nebuchadnezzar had searched all over for every human possible to give him the meaning of his dream. Earlier in the story, we read that the king was told that no one on earth could do what he asked. However, Daniel knew that while there may be no person on earth with the wisdom needed, there was a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Daniel knew that there may not be earthly answers to what is happening, but there is the God in heaven that gives wisdom and gives understanding. Daniel, he sought God in prayer, and God revealed to him the meaning of the dream. There was a mystery before him, and God uncovered it to Daniel for the sake of the king. I wish it was like that always for me. I'm not sure for you, but have you ever had a mystery in your life? Perhaps it was a dream like Nebuchadnezzar that woke you up at night and caused you to worry because you had no clue what it meant. Or perhaps there are other areas in your life that have had you puzzled, or maybe they're puzzling you even right now. Maybe it's the loss of a job, the loss of an income, a pandemic, a diagnosis, or a certain relationship. There are a lot of questions in life, a lot of uncertainties. But the truth is, the question is, how are we to respond? King Nebuchadnezzar sought after explanations from those around him, and he came up short. And as a result, he was angry. You know, that can happen to us too. When we look to our friends and to our coworkers or our family members as our only source of understanding to the questions in our lives, we are going to come up short. We are going to be frustrated. We are going to be left wanting something more. Daniel, he sought understanding from God when there was a big question mark before him. He went to God in prayer and trusted in knowing that the God, the very God who had walked with him before, was the same God who was with him even then. And Daniel was anchored in God's wisdom, not in the wisdom of man. Now, the same is true for us. We are invited to go to God in prayer, to ask for his wisdom and to ask for his understanding. And when we are not certain by human perspective as to why this or that is happening, we anchor to God's wisdom and trust and trust that the same God who is faithful and good and has worked on our behalf is with us even now. Daniel, he was anchored in God's wisdom, not in the wisdom of man. And you and I were called to do likewise. Well, secondly, Daniel was anchored in God's power, not in the power of man. King Nebuchadnezzar was considered one of the most powerful men in the world at that time. He had conquered nations around him and accumulated wealth and possessions and people. He was an intimidating person because of his strength and his might and his power. Look with me at Daniel 2, verse 24, which reads, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to them, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." I love that phrase from Daniel. Take me to the king. Daniel asked to go see the very person who had sentenced him to death. Daniel said, "I'll go. I'll risk my very life for everyone else, even my enemies, because God has revealed the truth to me." You see, Daniel knew that while King Nebuchadnezzar was strong, there was a God in heaven who was more powerful. And because Daniel, because he was anchored in God's power, he was filled with a strength, with a boldness to obey. But you see, because Daniel could go before the very throne of God, he knew with confidence there was nothing to fear at the throne of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, who could go before the very throne of God, the one with all the power, he knew there was nothing to fear at the throne of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel, he was filled with a boldness to take action on behalf of his friends and even his enemies. You know, we are to anchor ourselves in that very same power of God and to follow in obedience to him. Listen, if Daniel had not stepped up, if he had instead stayed silent, the outcome would have been very different. Daniel stepped forward in boldness and preserved a bunch of people who may not have really deserved it in our eyes. The involvement of one believer, one follower of God who is willing to walk in obedience to God, listen, can change the course of history. Jesus compared his followers to the salt of the earth. You know, salt, it's a preserving agent. Your presence, my presence, may be the very thing that keeps your workplace, the employers, employees, from making a financial decision that could eventually tank the company. Your influence at school or on the sports field may be the very thing that prevents poor choices to be made by your friends or your teammates. Your involvement in your family may be the very thing that preserves the relationships. The presence of a believer can make a world of difference as we follow in obedience, as we are anchored in God's power. You know, we have the chance to bring life to the many different areas that we touch. In the early church, we have record of believers proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the truth about Jesus before some pretty powerful people, people in authority who could have had them killed, thrown into prison, tortured. However, because they were anchored in God's power, filled with God's strength, they were not fearful of what may happen to them. You see, they boldly spoke the truth. You may initially think that what I'm telling you to do is to, or advocating for you to go out to and become one of those street preachers on the corner of New York City that's shouting with a megaphone about Jesus. Or maybe you're to write a controversial post on your Facebook wall as a way to be bold about your Christian views. No. You see, if we are to be anchored in God's power, we must understand the power of God. We have to understand the power of God. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, the embodiment of God's power, who came as a baby, a servant, gentle and humble in heart. You see, Jesus chose to control his power and became obedient to the will of his Father. You see, God's power doesn't destroy. God's power brings life and healing. You know, we can be filled with a strength to act in obedience, but we must first act with the attitude of Jesus, who came to serve and not be served. King Nebuchadnezzar had all the power he could want on this earth, yet he was filled with fear. Daniel, who was an exile, someone in captivity, had all of God's power, and so he was filled with boldness. Daniel was anchored in God's wisdom. Daniel was anchored in God's power. And lastly, Daniel was anchored in God's kingdom, not in the kingdom of man. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had this strange dream that showed that his earthly kingdom was going to come to an end. You see, all of his success, all of his accomplishments, everything that he worked for would eventually come crashing down. Daniel told of a kingdom, though, that would last forever. In verse 44 in Daniel chapter 2, we read that the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. You see, Daniel knew that he was not to be anchored to any kingdom of this world because it's not going to last. God's kingdom, on the other hand, God's kingdom is eternal. Nebuchadnezzar, he put his hope in his own kingdom. He put his hope in his own success. But he got a glimpse of the future of his kingdom and of his accomplishments. It was a very clear picture that his hope would not be in what he could achieve or what he could build. You know, our hope can't be in this world either. Our hope is not in things or people or politicians or relationships. Our hope is not here on this earth. Our hope, our citizenship is in a kingdom that will last forever. Our ultimate hope is in God. In verse 45, Daniel then describes the rock that came and knocked down the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. It says that the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. This rock was not formed by human power, but rather it was supernatural. We know that Jesus Christ, born supernaturally, conquered all when he died on the cross and rose again 3 days later. Jesus is our hope. He has come to set up his kingdom, and his reign will last forever. Now, in this passage, King Nebuchadnezzar was faced with this harsh reality that his wisdom and his power and his kingdom would fall short in comparison to the wisdom and the power in the kingdom of God. However, the king really still missed the point of the dream. King Nebuchadnezzar still missed the point. Verse 46 records that in response to the dream interpretation, it says that the king fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor in order that an offering and incense be presented to him. King Nebuchadnezzar fell down and worshiped Daniel, not God. He came so close to understanding and to realizing who was the foundation of Daniel's life, who the one is that is above all and deserves our worship. But the king fell short because, you see, he failed to choose to solely anchor his life to God. He was rather just adding something or someone else to his go-to list in times of trouble. Now, as the book of Daniel unfolds, even next week, we're going to see this, that the king, he was not anchored in God. In fact, what or whom you are anchored in, it's going to eventually show. what your life is anchored in. It's going to show eventually. You can only hide what your life is holding on to, but for so long before it starts to affect your decisions and your attitude and your pursuits, your foundation. It shows what is inside of you. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is one of the most famous buildings in the world. However, if you have ever visited the Leaning Tower of Pisa, I've been told you have most likely been disappointed. But do you know why the Tower of Pisa leans? The Leaning Tower of Pisa leans because it's in Pisa. Brilliant, right? You see, Pisa means marshy. The tower was built on soft soil and not on a solid foundation. In fact, the tower can't do what it was built for as a bell tower because it sits on the wrong foundation. The Leaning Tower of Pisa is just for show. It's just an attraction. You can try and protect it and fix it on the outside, but eventually it's going to fall over because of the instability of its foundation. Listen, a life, a home, a ministry that is not anchored in God is really just for show. You cannot fulfill what you have been designed to do on this earth if you are only pursuing the wisdom, the power, and the kingdom of this world, of man. You will come up short every single time and be left wanting more. Because what you and I need, what we need, is wisdom that's greater than what we can muster up. We need strength that comes from a supernatural power source. We need a kingdom to live for that extends past what we can achieve on our own. King Nebuchadnezzar, he had a life built on a soggy foundation. He may have been able to hold things together in his life for a short period of time and hold together his kingdom. However, he had a glimpse that all of that was going to come to an end. In fact, history even confirms all of that. Daniel, though, was anchored. You know, I'm reminded of the Empire State Building that stands tall in the New York City skyline. However, what is seen on the outside is not as important, though, as what is below the surface in the foundation of Manhattan. Those anchors that extend down into the bedrock. You know, as believers, we have the solid rock of Jesus Christ to anchor our lives into for all of our days. Jesus, he is our sure foundation that will never disappoint, that will never fail, that will never end. Now, if you today are struggling with doubts, with questions, you're unsure of what this life is actually really about, I encourage you to reach out now to our host pastor, and we'd be happy to let you know that you don't have to continue searching for truth, searching for strength, searching for meaning. You can have answers today by choosing to anchor your life to Jesus, the only one who will never disappoint, who will never fail. Daniel was able to stand tall and accomplish all that was before him, not because he was confident in his own abilities, but because he was anchored deep into God's wisdom, God's power, and God's kingdom.